Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 158. And yes, at last, it is the long-awaited Destiny special. I've been hyping this one for ages, so I've got a lot to tell you. It's going to be a long episode. I didn't want to split it in two because it felt like because it's a load of different chats, it needed to all be together and all there. So I'm going to tell you a bit about it first. I should mention that we're brought to you by SpeechDevelopmentRecords.com. That's my record label. It's where you can go and buy my merch. I've got summer merch. As you all know, I keep banging on about it. I've got podcast merch. I've got albums. I've got DVDs. I've got all you need. I've got a game actually on the website at scroobiuspip.co.uk. As this is for the gamers. I've got a game called Bash the Beard that you can use the space bar to make my beard grow, and you use the mouse to balance me, and you try not to knock me over as my beard grows. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so when I started posting about this, it's the Destiny special. Where to start? Let's go to the beginning. So I got hit up by Activision asking if I was a gamer, and I was like, yeah, I'm a gamer. I don't get game as much as I used to, but I've had consoles all my life. I've had Amigas and Spectrums back in the day. And they asked if I played a game called Destiny. And I was like, I don't, but I'm fascinated by it. Because I know Dan Lesak plays it. My friend Naomi plays it. Naomi Von Creeps. A load of different people I know have been posting about it for a long time. And that kind of open world game fascinates me because It's the kind of game I've not played because I'm self-employed and I have to be self-motivated. And a game where I can just lose myself and go in this crazy world scared me, time-wise. But I said to him, "Yeah, I'm kind of it's a world that interests me." And they asked if I wanted to do a podcast based around the launch of Destiny 2. And I was like, "Look, if you're going to have a load of people who can cover this game as experts, but if you're up for me coming in as a non-expert, a fascinated non-expert, then I'm up for it. It sounds fascinating." So we all agreed to it. And then they were looking at what would be a good point to kind of introduce me to it all. And they decided on the gameplay premiere which, incredibly lucky for me, is in Los Angeles. So they agreed, Activision agreed to fly me out to LA and put me up in a hotel to cover this, to go to the big launch, to take it all in. They were going to line me up to talk to a load of people and give my kind of open and honest views and experiences. So before I did that, I decided, right, I'm going to give Dan Lesak a call. And because he's someone I know who's clocked a lot of hours in it. So he agreed to bring me up to speed over Skype. So that's what we're going to start with. First of all, I'm going to have a little chat with Dan Lesak, and he's going to tell me why he's obsessed with it and what I need to know to not make an idiot of myself out there. So I'm now recording.
Okay.
So that I'm sure that will make sense. so yeah, let's jump into this. I'm talking to Dan Lesak here over Skype. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
So as I was kind of explaining before we started recording, I was asked if I'd be interested in doing a podcast about Destiny, and it was something I was instantly interested in because it's a game I'd never played at the time, but I'd seen you talk about it a lot and a load of other people online. And obviously, it's one of the biggest games ever of all time. And it's this crazy, addictive thing. So I was definitely intrigued. And I thought the best way, before I get to go off and talk to some of the creators and some of the big names on of playing it online, I thought you'd be the perfect person to kind of talk to and prep me a little bit,
yeah.
because I know you've played it a load. So,
what kind of drew you into it initially? Like, was it just all the hype around it that it's this huge thing?
I wasn't going to get it at all. I literally, like, I was, I don't think I was streaming at that point. And I don't know, I was talking to my mate Jake, and he was just like, are you interested in Destiny? Are you excited? And I was like, meh. This was like 2 days before it came out. And then I went to like my local supermarket on the day of release and bought it. And then it was like 11 hours later, we hadn't stopped playing, you know?
It's just, I mean, I've played it a fair bit since I've got it. Still, I'm only on like 20 hours or something like that.
Total. So I'm on what?
I'm nothing.
2,400 or something. It's 14 weeks.
That's insane.
But it's insane. I love that. Think of the stuff I could have done in 14 weeks. You know?
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's it's a weird one because, again, I instantly, I found the scope of it hugely exciting. I've not really, I've never been a big gamer for online and community type stuff. And the reason for that is, one time in the past, I had a Call of Duty game and I got really into it and I loved it. And then I went online and I felt like an absolute idiot because it was the most intimidating. Everyone was a beast.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be the vibe with Destiny at all. It seems to be a real, a community is exactly the word. It seems to be that everyone's kind of helping each other along online. I've not seen much of the kind of bravado, I guess.
Bravado, braggadocio, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. There is that. That does exist in the Destiny community, but it's communities upon communities upon communities, you know, because of Destiny's PvE content as well as PvP. So, you know, in COD, that salty, trolly arsehole comes out through killing another human being. Whereas Destiny, we can go kill other humans, but we can also kill aliens together as a team. And, like, the highlights for Destiny across the last 3 years have always been the raids, which the first raid, not so much the second raid, but,
Explain the raids a little bit, because that's one of the things that blew me away as well, is as soon as you start to get into the game, you realise it's a fictional a world, but it's applicable to real world, and I'll explain kind of what I mean by that. you and your mates could all literally say, I'll meet you on Venus and we'll do a raid tonight at 8 o'clock.
Exactly.
And you all kind of go online and meet on Venus and team up to go and do a raid and do this mission and all that.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. That it's like you can literally. I'll see you later on. Like we'll do this raid at 8 o'clock, and you all meet there and do it.
Exactly. We had a raid night, same night every week for months and months and months. Amazing. We're actually just about to start it again because they've reworked all the raids for the like final hurrah before Destiny 2. So the raids themselves, they're basically 6-man or woman or whatever you define yourself as. You've done a strike, I take it. Have you done a strike?
I've not done any of the team up stuff. I've just been playing on my own nervously. I've been running about just going, this is great. But part of it was, again, that kind of, because I've started it literally years after everyone else, it has been that fear of, it's like, right, I want to play it a load and kind of understand it a bit better. And then I'll look into kind of, let's team up, let's do something.
Well, after the first like month of playing the game when it came out, the focus was for everyone was to get their character up to a high enough level to do that first raid called the Vault of Glass,
right?
And that's the Vexed, you know, the robot dudes. And basically the raids are how to explain it. It's like a really hard level. You know, the enemies are always above you in terms of their level and their damage output and stuff. But you have to work out how to destroy each boss and get through each section with better loot than you can get outside of the raids, basically. Yeah. Although now you can get better loot through some of the high-end PvP content like Trials of Osiris and stuff like that. But when you first started the game, the only way you could hit level 30 was by doing the raids. And they really require cooperation between teams. The King's Fall raid, is like the most cooperative. You can't do it like on your own. It's funny because the second raid, the Crota raid they did, was just a little bit broken, so you could do it on your own. A six-man thing, you could actually manipulate some of the mechanics of the game to do it by yourself. I've soloed the second raid numerous times just for shits and giggles, because it's just funny.
There's been a few different ones I've done that it says it recommends, I presume they're just strikes or whatever else, and I've literally just found a spot that I can hide and just and made this one thing last fucking hours, because I'm kind of ducking in and out and ducking and doing real kind of snipery type stuff and doing it as a long game rather than at this stage just teaming up with people,
which is how, like, there's so much of the content we did, like the Nightfalls, which were the strikes but made really difficult with difficult buffs and nerfs to your abilities.
Right.
But if you died, if the whole team died, you just went back to orbit, so you had to start again. Right. So that was like, and when the game launched, that was one of the other only ways of getting decent gear. So the amount of time you would just find, there would be three of you in this tiny little corner, maybe a Titan with a bubble. And, come on, guys, hold together. We got this.
Yeah. I love that. Again, I like that. A community element of it. Another thing I think that put me off initially was I don't play a lot of long games because of having other stuff to do and being, as we've both discussed in the past, the fear of getting addicted and losing tens of hours. But what I've kind of enjoyed about this is it is also kind of a pick up and play. Like, I can just dart on and do one mission, do one thing, and then I come back, you know, a few days later and do more. So it's kind of, it's got both elements. I don't know, I liked it in that way, that it's not this, right, I have to sit down every day and do 10 hours and this is this.
See, this thing, like Destiny being one of the biggest games of all time.
Yeah.
But it comes from the fact that they've taken influence from, like, your traditional MMOs on PC, some of the bigger things like WoW, World of Warcraft and stuff, where they're large teams and you've got a lot to do. But it also took influence from your Call of Duties and those games. So you had that pick up and play. Now,
completely.
Like, in some communities, they think it's not MMO enough, which, like, even
so what's MMOs?
Massively multiplayer online game.
Right.
You know, because, like, some of those MMOs aren't six people, they're 60, you know? So there's that, like, hardcore over there, and then some of the people who just want to pick up for 20 minutes think there's too much to do, so they've had this weird balancing act they've had to do for a long time to try to not be an arcade game, but not be so overwhelmingly complex and intense that it puts people off. And they've done a really, really good job of getting that balance. And over it was more intimidating in year one than it was in year two. They made it that little bit easier to level, that little bit easier to get loot. And they've just, over the 3 years, they've changed the games in ways to just get that balance right, which is really good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty of it being such an online world, is that they can kind of see from multiple users, hundreds of thousands of millions of users all interact and use it, what they need to tweak and what they need to make right, and kind of make all these little nudges and pushes in the right direction. It feels unlucky that I've stepped in at the point where it's just great to step into and...
It's funny you say that, like, as a positive, because a lot of players in the initial release of the game felt like we were being used by Bungie to test their game, we'd already paid for it. But that is a sort of symptom of AAA games and...
But man, as well, it's all that testing anyway. It's testing it. To improve it for your own good.
For you. Yeah, that's the thing. That's always been...
We are using you to test it, but to give you better stuff, it's kind of, yeah, it's a fair balance in my
mind. And you know, it's better than them going, oh, no, it's done. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, what, that's broken. Well, no, that's going to be broken forever. So,
and that's what's really interesting. Because that's it. Because I'm used to games like an easy example would be FIFA that comes out every year and there's slight changes.
Mm.
It's more or less the same game. There's slight tweaks and slight changes. Whereas the beauty of this is that you bought it 3 years ago and it's changed. The game that you bought then has changed and changed and developed and,
oh, God,
and
become, yeah, better.
Rather than every year, here's the new Destiny. You know,
exactly.
Destiny,
yeah,
2,
yeah,
is coming out 3 years or whatever it is after the original.
And they put it back as well, which is,
yeah,
them putting back Destiny 2, as much as like people were disappointed, is like the most positive sign for Bungie, for Activision, for anyone going forward. Because, yeah, like, what happens for a huge amount of games is that there's this release date set like 2 years in advance and then it never changes. So wherever the game's at, that's done. You know, that's when it comes out. A game called Mass Effect Andromeda came out just in the last couple of months, and like there were just basic real problems. It's a game that tries to tell an emotive narrative and the facial animations were like they were being punched in the back of the head the whole time.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so, but they had to release it on the day, whereas Bungie have convinced Activision, if it's that way around, yeah, or Activision have encouraged Bungie to get the release date at a time that makes for the best possible game. And the fact, yeah, that they're releasing... Again,
that makes tons of sense.
As they're releasing Destiny 2 on PC as well, which, oh, wow, they didn't on the first one.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, there's still this console PC war that goes on. There's more, right, games that come out on PC than anything else, but yeah, so there's this weird sort of elitism that happens in one way, right, and that's other. There's a
I find that fascinating when things are in this day and age, when things are specific to one console or to one,
yeah,
to one platform, rather than just, well, let's all play together, man. Let's all enjoy it. It always, being an Xbox a player, it's annoyed me. There's been several games on the PlayStation that that look amazing, and I'll be like, oh, when's that coming out? And I'll wait for the release date, and then I won't, because I'm not enough of a gamer to pay attention to this stuff. I'll go, all right, oh, I can't have that.
I can never play
God
that.
Damn it.
That's so sad.
I mean, one of the things that's good as well, and I think that will have pushed a game like this along, is in the timing of it all, is things like Twitch. Now, the thing that I've enjoyed is, because I'm doing this podcast, and you know I'm kind of a workaholic as such, I've had to make time to play games as work. That's brilliant. That's kind of perfect. I can go, no, I am working. I don't have to beat myself up that I should be doing something else. I can put in a few hours and enjoy it. Now, you're partnered on Twitch, and you kind of have a certain amount of hours you like to put in, and there's always kind of encouragement to put in more, as many hours as possible. That's ideal for a game like this, right? Because,
oh God, yeah,
you're getting to lose hours and hours and hours into it, but you're doing it for your viewers and your community and all that kind of thing. So that's got to be a benefit for a huge game like this.
We like, if we wanted to like break it down in a business sense, like for Twitch, if we wanted to talk numbers, one of the biggest Destiny streamers, probably the biggest Destiny streamer, is a guy called Gathalion, King Gathalion. Right. Like, he used to be a beatboxer and stuff. He's always, you can clearly see he always wanted to be an entertainer, and he can be a really funny guy, although he's fun dad. He's fun dad a lot of the time, which is delightful. But like, he was a Borderlands streamer, mm-hmm, and he was probably, I don't know, I don't 100% know his numbers, but I think he had like 40,000 followers, which is still really good.
Yeah, man.
And Destiny took him from that place to being like 500,000 followers. Like, the highest viewer numbers I've ever seen him have during Destiny was one of the raids where he had like 60,000 people. He probably has 5,000-6,000 people a day. Depending on Destiny, with those streamers, obviously it depends on what content's happening. like right. 6 weeks after new content, it's going to be a little quieter than it was, but
right, yeah, that's yeah, life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for yeah. a lot of streamers, it gave them the opportunity to have content that they actually enjoyed every day. You
it's
see,
fascinating as well, because the watching of it is the kind of game that, like I've only been playing it a short while, but it's the kind of game that, because it is so, it's this huge cinematic world, I can see the enjoyment in watching someone do a certain raid or certain level,
mm.
and then going, cool, I'm going to go and do that now. It's like watching a film and then getting to go and be in that film. You know, it's a weird, yeah.
And it's not just the enjoyment of it as well. It like, you can improve your play by watching people. Yeah. You can, like the current version of the very first raid, the first boss, the team I play with, when we first did it, we got stuck. We just got stuck.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like we banged our heads against it for a couple of hours and then all went off and just sweared into our pillows and fell asleep. And then, like, the next day, I turned on a guy called T-Rex, T-A-W-R-E-X, who's a lovely dude, just, like, one of those warm people you meet in the world. And watching him take viewers through it, and it's like, that's what we were doing wrong.
That's why we should have sorted that.
You know, we just instantly, like, oh, okay, we needed to just DPS the hell out of the boss, not bother about ads or anything. It's like, oh, okay, we were trying to be too clever and try to stay alive, where it was more of a...
I love that. I love that how it can be, like, going through a game like Destiny on Twitch can be both almost a cheat guide type, like in the old school of getting the books that take you through stuff. But also, obviously, I'm a big a mixed martial arts fan, and one of the things that's developed in recent years is going away from, or for a long time it's been developing, of going away from your more meathead approach to fighting, to people who are saying that it's important to spend a lot of time watching your practices or watching other people's techniques and training your mind as much as the physical effort of training your body. So I've had that on games numerous times where I watch my mates play, and almost subconsciously it's going in, it's tweaking little areas of your action and your approach that kind of makes you go, right, I'm tighter now.
Remember Stato on Fantasy Football League?
Yeah.
So Destiny has a Stato. His name's actually Datto. Weird.
Right, great.
But, like, this guy, Datto, who breaks down the, like, technical aspects of the game and shows different ways of doing things and how different abilities work and stack statistically and stuff. You've got that guy over there. But then you've got people like a guy called Triple Rec, who is your professional footballer, forward, you know, like, just plays high-end PvP. He's very good at the game. He doesn't really touch the content that isn't killing other human beings. But, you know, so it definitely has that width of... you can get into the game in that statistical... I don't want to say nerdy, because I always find that word kind of negative, but nerdy...
Mate, I recently got the Doom game, and my mate Chris, who you know,
the new one
came over. The recent one. And we were playing it, and I'm the guy that plays it and is just about, let's kill people and get to the end of the level. But Chris is the guy that plays it, let's kill people in this section and then search every area of this section.
Yeah.
And then let's jump under this ledge and find this secret. And all that kind of thing. And again, it's that different kind of game. And Destiny takes that to another level. Like, because you've literally got worlds to explore. It's like there's so much. But again, all the time I've been playing, it's like my aim is to survive until it tells me I've been a good boy and I can go on to the next bit kind of thing. There's no going deep into I need to collect this, and this. It's like, right, now let's get through this.
Obviously, like, there are plenty of games that built far bigger worlds than Destiny did. Destiny, like, especially the day one players, the world didn't feel nearly as big.
Yeah, I'd heard that as one of the early criticisms and issues, and that's it's mind blowing to me coming into it at the level it is now.
Yeah.
But equally, as you said, I think it's a balancing act. It's
100%
too big. It's off putting to a lot of gamers, a lot of people who aren't these absolute experts and live and die for it. Mm. Then if it's too vast, that's intimidating. Whereas it's finding the balance of, look, here's, you can get it, it's conceivable, and you can go and get involved in it and be in the middle of it all.
Well, the really good mark of how well-balanced Destiny has got is there are players who, 3 years on, have still never done the raid and are still enjoying the game. There are players who have never done Trials of Osiris and are still enjoying the game. You know, it's... It definitely gives you enough if you're on your own. It's better with friends, though. It's still better. Like, I think that probably half the hours I've put, let's say 1,200 of the hours I've put, are only there because one of my friends said, look, I'm going to be on tonight. Do you want to chill, play, do some Iron Banner or whatever?
Amazing.
And it's like... Yeah, well, I was going to sit on my ass in my pants and watch Netflix, but I could sit on my ass in my pants and play Iron Banner. Yeah, let's do that.
It's a level of actual interaction there. Well, I mean, this is perfect. I'll wrap things up because I want to keep these quite brief. But I'm going to ask you a big ask now, and I'm going to, just because I'm going to have done this in the intro, but just sum up what Destiny is for anyone who's never played. You know, anything else in as short a manner as you can, because I've realised that we've not touched upon the three different kinds of fighter you can be and all this other
there's
stuff.
There's so much. I tried to.
It's too broad a question, isn't it?
I wrote an article for Vice at the end of year one for Destiny.
Yeah.
About Destiny, and. The first paragraph is like 200 words of me trying to explain what it is. It's an arcade MMO, even though Bungie will never use the word MMO. It's an arcade MMO looter shooter. Is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So you shoot stuff, you get loot, you get to play with your friends and do all sorts of shenanigans.
Yeah.
Space magic. That's probably the best thing. Space magic.
Different worlds, exactly that. A shooter looter, I didn't even know that term, but it sums it up perfectly. You're beating people and killing them, and as you do, you're collecting bits and putting stuff together. Again, still half the stuff I've collected, no idea what it is. I'm racking it up, like, oh, I'll get more of that. I'll find out what that does at some point. But
One day I'll know what that is.
Yeah, exactly. I figured it all makes sense in the end. Well, thank you very much, sir. And I'll go and talk to a load of the creators and that, hopefully.
Nice.
And hopefully I'll make more sense. Cheers.
So, after I spoke to Dan, before I spoke to Dan, I'd started playing it and I'd been enjoying it. I'd clocked up only like 10, 15 hours, but man, you can lose yourself easy. I'd really enjoyed it. So, I played it more, I'd spoken to Dan, and it was time to head out to LA. So I was flown out a week or so early, and I had to go out for other reasons for a few meetings and stuff. So I got myself an Airbnb. I'll tell you all about that on the Drunk Cast. If you tune into the Drunk Cast, you'll hear my Airbnb nightmare. But then, as we came close to the event, I had a nice little hotel Activision and sorted for me. And the day before was kind of a mixer for all the people who were there to cover it. And a lot of you will know, if you've listened to podcasts, I'm kind of not that much of a social guy. So I was a bit on edge, and I was like, all these people are going to be experts and I'm going to look like an idiot and I'm not going to be able to connect to these people. So I ummed and erred about attending the mixer, and I thought, no, I'm here to work, you know, I'll go and work. So we all meet up in the hotel lobby, and then we get Ubers to a bowling alley near Los Angeles airport, and everyone was blooming lovely. I mean, loads of guys and gals who were all bloggers or YouTubers or whatever else, and no one seemed to care that I'm an idiot in Destiny terms compared to them. And we had a lovely time. We talked a lot of wrestling. I made some new wrestling friends, which is always a treat. So I talked some wrestling, I made some friends, I did some bowling, I got some strikes, and then I went to my room. I still left early and had an early night. I'm still a nerd and a loser. So I left early, I wasn't drinking, all this boring stuff. I went home and had an early night, and then I got up in the morning and went, like, at 8 o'clock, I went to this gameplay premiere. Man, it was madness. I kind of arrive and there's a load of really excited gamers. It's all like organized with military precision, but with a genuine smile. And the thing that struck me first of all was, as we're waiting, there's like a countdown clock. The buzz in the room and the excitement of all these people who've, again, for them, who've been playing the original game for like 2-3 years and waiting for this new version. So the buzz was exciting. I remember on the coach there was a lot of buzz and people talking, and someone had tweeted some leaked info which had people excited, but no one knew if it was real. And we're about to go and see everything anyway, so it was kind of pointless. There was every type of mobile filming and recording device that the world has ever seen. All these dudes with cameras on their heads, cameras on their chests, cameras in their hands, microphones everywhere. I felt bad because I wasn't there to film anything. This is an audio podcast. I was there to take it all in and then to talk to some people. But yeah, we all sit down and we're waiting for this keynote speech, and it blew me away. And the thing that got me was all the guys at Bungie who made this game. They felt like, I won't talk too much, actually, because I talked to three different people and I'll probably cover all this. I'm recording these intros a month later, so I'm worried I'll repeat myself in my excitement of remembering it. But I loved that the people creating it just felt like the gamers, and the gamers felt like they were as much part of the creating. They were there excited to see something that all created, rather than, it didn't feel like a seller and customer scenario. It felt like or truly like a community. So, I mean, with that in mind, I should kick things off with an amazing guest. I got to speak to Eric Osborne, affectionately known as Irk, who's head of community at Bungie and one of the creators of Destiny. So, yeah, this is our chat.
Right, I'm rolling, and I'm here with Irk. Do you want to explain who you are and what your role is at Bungie as such?
Sure, I'll try to give the short version. So, Eric Osborne, a.k.a. Irk, I'm the head of community, came to the studio in 2008. It was sort of my mecca. I was a fan of Bungie and the games they made, and started connecting with them online while I was playing their games. Yeah. They offered me a job and asked me if I wanted to come out and work on some web stuff and some writing stuff, and I thought, hell, why not? So I packed everything I owned into a 2003 Honda Civic and made a 2,600 mile journey to start a new adventure with Bungie. So here I am.
How much of a dream is that, coming from someone who was a fan and was playing, to kind of get that? Well, do you want to come and help us make the stuff that you're enjoying?
Dude, it's amazing. It's still, you know, my mecca. It's still, every day I walk in, I kind of pinch myself and think about how blessed I am to work with so many, you know, kindred spirits, passionate people that, just pour themselves into this experience and try to see it from a player's perspective and make, communities, try to build experiences that people can share together. And, like, you know, our highest value statement is we build games that bring people together.
Yeah.
I think it's a really unique perspective. And in my case, a literal, narrative that happened for me. I worked at a bank,
Oh, amazing.
So
that's amazing. And it's one of the things that struck me, because I'm new to Destiny. I've only been playing a few months.
Yep.
And one of the things that struck me as amazing is that community. Now, I remember years ago I was playing a lot of Call of Duty, and I'm a one-player guy.
Yeah.
I'm going off and doing stuff. And
you're long
the second I went online and did co-op stuff, I got put off because it was intimidating and it was aggressive. That's kind of, it feels like that
is almost what motivated the community side of Destiny to be the opposite of that, to say, no, everyone's welcome. It's this welcoming thing, and even more so on Destiny 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a huge initiative for us and something that's just in our DNA. We want to build friendly, warm communities. And I say build loosely. Like, obviously, people have to love the game experience, and they have to find something in it that they can just gravitate to and latch onto. And so, like, I don't necessarily see myself as a community builder as much as I'm just part of a machine that is built around the amazing people who build this experience and that bring everybody together in these moments. So, yeah, Destiny 2 is a moment for us to bring all those people together again, whether you're a seasoned veteran or somebody who's new, but building those positive experiences. Some of it is because we build hopeful worlds and because we build beautiful spaces and we don't go after anything reprehensible or grotesque. You know, when you sit on a planet in Destiny, you have this beautiful soaring music, and you're a heroic figure in the world and someone who people look up to as, you know, with esteem. And I think that that rubs off on people.
Yeah, completely.
And we've also made some purposeful decisions that are a lot more technical and sort of, you know, tactical in nature. Like, in Destiny, you'll never have to hear from another person unless you opt into that conversation, right? In real life, people have to, like, if you think of, like, the friendships you've made in your life, very few of them, at least for me, I don't know about you, I won't speak on your behalf, but, like, you know, even acquaintances, it takes a large number of meetings before I feel comfortable reaching out to somebody,
Completely.
And so we wanted all those experiences to be really optional. You're choosing to speak with somebody. You're choosing to bring them into your world or into your
100%
team.
100%, man.
And that sets a tone, you know? Like, I think if you walked into, you know, a social space in Destiny and all those voices were up and you couldn't control it, I think it would have set a completely different tone.
Yeah.
You might have realized, like, oh, not everybody is friendly.
And, the hecticness and maniness.
And that sets your behavior in a different space, right?
Yeah.
But when they're all quiet and it's peaceful and the only way to communicate is to do a really awesome dance and, you know, get down there, you get the sense that, like, you know, these people are positive and friendly.
Yeah.
And I think that leads to that behavior being pointed in that direction, right? It becomes guidance for people.
Yeah, I couldn't relate to that more. I've not had a ringtone on my phone for about 5 years because, again, it's like I want it to be a choice. I don't want someone kind of nudging me, kind of saying now, kind of thing. It's beautiful to have that option of community. Yeah. And there's two things there. I mean, let's jump straight into the bit that felt the most appealing for me in the developments and new things is the clans were hugely exciting, but again, it's something that previously was outside of the game, and previously I'm not enough of I don't have enough knowledge or enough friends who are into it to feel comfortable exploring that. So the guided games and the guidance where you can temporarily join a clan looked fantastic, because again, it's solved that problem of feeling, oh, I don't really know how that works. I don't want to ruin anyone's game as such.
Yeah, it's sort of the third pillar of what we wanted to talk about today. You know, we have, you know, a big story that you can play. Like you said, you play solo, right?
Yeah.
We have that story content that's there with characters that you're going to care about, a villain that we hope you're going to love to hate.
Yeah.
You get to be the hero of this world and be a really powerful force for good. Then we have a large amount of variety. You know, the world's worth exploring, and you can have cooperative experiences or really challenging experiences or competitive experiences. But, you know, we wanted to be able to look at the communities that we're forming, these really positive people that are out there in our community, and a lot of them were here today, and they're people that not only do I recognize, I know them by name, and I walk around and you know, like, we send each other Christmas cards, and they come out to the studio, and it's such a fascinating and awesome thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
We knew, like, hey, we have to, like, allow these people to take hold in the game in a more official way and have an official place through clans to, you know, sort of adopt identities that other players could see and to put their mottos out into the world and invite other people into their homes.
Yeah.
And conversely, we have all these people who are playing solo, you know, like my wife plays, and she's never had the opportunity to play some of the most rewarding content we have, some of the most unique content we have, like our super challenging raids. And then allowing her to sort of browse through those groups and see, like, which one of them looks like a comfortable space for her, a welcoming space for her, and to decide purposefully, like, I'm gonna ask them if they want to play and to make that connection.
And to explain that a little deeper on what we've seen today is the clans can have their own flags and own banners, and equally they'll have a bit of a motto or an explanation, so you can get a vibe of who these people are, and if it's a team that, no, we're pro as fuck. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't keep up. But then there'll be other teams that are like, look, just come and we're going to go and do some stuff.
We're just going to chill.
Yeah.
And I think, like, just sort of wind it back at, like, at the super high level, the simplest explanation is, like, clients are groups of people that share some commonality, right?
Yeah.
Something that they really love. And it could be something that they love in the game, and it could be something like maybe they all love a certain kind of music or whatever it is. There's something there that keeps them together that's bonding for them. And they play together and they've made the game their hobby. And then we have people who are solo who don't necessarily want to be in a clan. They don't want the obligation. Yep. They're not looking for friends in a game. They're just looking for, I just want to play on the weekend on a Friday night. I want to crack a pint or have a glass of wine. I want to relax and play a video game. I want to shoot some aliens and find it relaxing. But I want to try some of this other content that I've heard about because I hear it's really fun. And that's a way for us to do that. And a way for us to do it in a way where we don't have to use a traditional matchmaking system that would pair random people with each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the raid is a specific example of it's an activity that requires intense cooperation that you're going to spend, in some cases, hours doing.
Yeah.
It's incredibly rewarding when you finally beat it.
Yeah.
And you have that moment where, like, you know, that exhale of, like, we did it as a team together.
Yeah.
And if you had six people who weren't getting along, two of them were jerks or racist or whoever, God knows what, right?
Yeah.
It becomes incredibly disruptive.
Yeah,
of course. And they creep each other and they, you know, but that anonymous nature of the internet is something that isn't a super welcoming feeling, right?
100%.
We want to make sure we're staying far away from that.
Yeah, and it's that focused and bespoke putting together of people rather than random putting together of people. Yeah. Now, one of the things with any online and digital game or any game that's engaging the internet and communities in such a high manner is there's going to be people being negative, people having issues. And the thing that struck me hugely about, and it's one of the reasons I was pleased to talk to you specifically on the community side of things, is it feels like you've been the guys that have gone, thanks for that. Like, I appreciate your negative feedback because that's something that we can improve. And do you know what I mean? You've taken things on board rather than getting defensive and going, mate, have you seen how good our game is? Do you know what I mean? You've gone, no, you're right, actually. That's not quite right. That needs improving, or that's not quite there. And it feels like everything I've seen people complain about. I had a person this morning talk about feeling it wasn't as big as they would have, or there wasn't as much to do as they would have liked. And the new maps and ability to just go and explore worlds in your own time solves all of that so much. So,
I mean, companies pay millions of dollars to get insight into what their customers want.
Yeah.
And, like, how like, ignorant would it be to look at the people playing the game, the people who have given you their money, and more importantly, giving you their time. They could be doing anything.
Yeah.
Right? They could be watching a film. They could be reading a book. They could be out with friends. And instead, they're choosing to invest in this world that we've built for them. So, like, what else can we do but use them as, you know, a divining rod to lead us to where they want to go, right?
Yeah.
And certainly, there's an element of game building and world building where, you know, we bring artists in and designers in and craftsmen in, and they want to make something they love and they hold to. But we're always thinking about the other side of the screen, like, We're as much artisans as we are servants.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you know, I don't know if you're going to make, you know, I'm looking at a table, you can't see that on the podcast, but like, this is a pretty poor table design because it's got slats in it and things could fall down. Like, whoever made this didn't think about anything but their own aesthetic pleasure, right?
Yeah.
Have a flat surface on top because I'm going to set my silverware on it, right?
Yeah.
It would be, so, like, we see it as world building. It's an art form. It's a craft. We want to build beautiful things that we love that, you know, are from our sensibilities and lay ourselves bare out there.
Yeah.
But we also know, like, we're making something for someone else.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course when they have feedback for it, we're going to hear it. And, like, personally, like, my brother texts me when he's having a bad time in the game, right?
Yeah,
so it's really acute.
So you can't escape that. You can't escape it. It's not just in your work hours when you're looking at it.
My brother, if he's having a bad time in something that I've done, I want to march into somebody's office and be like, hey, like, I want you to hear this feedback because it's important, right?
It's the beauty as well. And again, another thing I've got from today, I've had people in the past ask me to do speeches or seminar things on social media and how to do this and how to do that. And I've always turned it down because I think the one thing you have to do is be a user.
Yeah.
You use it a lot and learn what annoys you about social media. Learn that if someone tweets and it's a link to Instagram, you don't want to click on that link, but if they've done the tweet themselves, do you know what I mean? And things like that, all these small things. And the vibe I got from everyone is that you're making improvements for the community, but you're also making improvements for your own enjoyment of the game because you all play a lot. So if there's something that's annoyed you over hundreds of hours, then you want to improve that for yourselves.
And I think that's a really relevant way to frame it, too, because, like, you know, if you came into a gaming experience and you only invested 10 hours,
yeah,
that thing that annoys someone that plays 1,000 hours isn't relevant to you at all. Yeah. You probably never even run into it or experience it, or you just, it's just not consequential. But if it's your hobby, if it's a thing you do every day or every weekend, that, like, the small things, the little burrs at the end, you know, like, really start to bother you.
And
so it would be really easy, I think, to see, like, the polar ends of the spectrum and say, wow, everybody loves it, so we're going to focus there.
Yeah.
Or, oh, this group over here hates it, so we're just going to dismiss them. But both of those groups, their feedback and their energy is born out of a desire to see the game that they want to see, right? They love it. And so that's why they're nobody, you know, somebody wants to pop off on a Twitter, that happens, and they just go away. That's fine, you know, but if it's like, somebody's coming to you and they're saying, I want this to be better, like, it's guidance and it's something we can use. And that doesn't mean, like, obviously we can't take all the direction that's out there. You sort of have to figure out, like,
there's balance and there's reasons.
Our job is to, like, take all that into account and figure out where we can point ourselves, like, where can we pour ourselves into a problem and solve it. So I think that's what today was really about, was leading Destiny 2 off, kicking it off by telling people, like, these are the big things we're going to invest in, right?
Yeah.
We're going to invest in storytelling. We're going to invest in variety. We're going to invest in our community, and putting those things out there as, like, these are the clarion calls that are the North Stars that we have inside the studio that are guiding us, as much as it is about showing off content.
Yeah.
The content's
fun.
I think, you know, the mission's cool. The strike's awesome. It's fun to play. The PvP stuff is really great. But ultimately, this is about the higher order of, like, this is why we're making Destiny 2. This is what's getting us out of bed in the morning.
Completely.
These are the things that we want to hold up as, you know, unique and big key features for the game.
100%. So, and as amazing as watching the new footage and the amazing visuals is, the things that have jumped out to me are the simple things. It was kind of made a joke of, but you were saying about the things that on repeat plays are going to annoy you. The not having to go into orbit to go everywhere, just always, like, I've only played 20 or so hours, and I was like, yeah, that annoys the hell out of me. That's kind of an awkward thing to keep having to do that. So,
and I think, like, we've sort of classified those in the past as sort of quality of life. I think that might be a little bit of a pretentious way to frame it, just make the small things that can make an experience better, the finishing touches, the small improvements that and collectively have a lot of weight.
Like,
you add them all up together, they just make the experience much more satisfying,
and
easier to get to. Like, you know, we want to make sure that when you play the game that you're able to find the things that you find fun faster, right? Like,
whatever
thing happens to be. So removing those barriers in front of people while still providing them guidance and information. So it's a difficult balancing act.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of people that, you know, are constantly working on refinements and improvements, but, you know, I think for us, like, Destiny 2 is just our next big step forward.
Yeah.
Right? So we're able to take all that experience we've had in the games, both as players and as people who are serving a big community, and just, you know, just take it all in one big go and put it into Destiny 2. So I think that's a really great moment for us. And I think, you know, somebody like yourself, who's just got some limited time in it.
Yeah.
I think Destiny's just going to be a phenomenal start for you to come back in and check it out. And somebody like myself, who, you know, I've got 30 days played.
Yeah, yeah.
Between working and doing everything else.
Yeah.
I've got a son, so I'm balancing all that stuff out, but I've still played a ton of the game.
And
I'm super looking forward to that, you know, the surprising moments that we can build in, the sort of reintroduction to the world and sense of discovery.
And that's the perfect point to kind of, we'll kind of wrap things up on, because the thing that struck me, I come from a storytelling background, a writing background, and the simplicity of the way you've made Destiny 2 the perfect welcome for the experienced gamers and people who are brand new to it, in the storyline just essentially being that this huge evil new baddie brings everyone back to the same level. Do you know what I mean? I love the simplicity and beauty as that played out on screen, that he's taken all your powers away. So if you've been playing this for 3,000 hours, you're back at the start, and we're all experiencing this new journey together.
Yeah.
New people, old people, everyone is starting at the same point, and we're all going into this new world.
It's really important for us to have that moment of convergence where everybody can experience and discover the newness of Destiny 2 together, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to start a new journey with all these powers, do you know what I mean? Already at such a high level that it's a breeze. You need to have that journey.
Yeah, and I think the story premise, we wanted to make sure it was simple, but also relatable and meaningful. So, you know, you have the broader story, which is about, you know, the heroes of the world, the guardians who are tasked with protecting humanity from our enemies, failing to do that, falling to this enemy, this Dominus Gaul and his Red Legion. But conversely, when you turn it around and look at his story, Dominus Gaul, he believes he should be chosen and be the guardian, right?
Yeah,
he believes that it's his right. And so we hope we've created a villain that has his own deep personal motivations that you can understand and relate to, that you can empathize with. Even though you're not on his side, you can say, like, I get it. I get why he's doing that, right? He's not just a big, scary monster. He's just, you know, he's not an ogre. He is a realized actor in this world who is going to sweep you aside, not just for the sake of it, but because he's proving something to himself and to the traveler and to his people, right? He's setting himself up as the immovable object, right?
Yeah, he's got his own deep motivations rather than just I'm the monster.
Yeah, and he's not just taking your powers and your weapons and your gear. He's scattering the legends of our world to the wind, and he's taking our home, which I think is also a purposeful, resonant storytelling, feature, but that doesn't sound silly.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it relates to people, right? People can understand it. So even if you haven't played before, that's something you can understand. And if you've invested, you know, hundreds of hours, it's going to feel, you know, really impactful.
It's going to feel really personal because that's where you've always gone for safety.
Yeah, you're going to want to come back to that spot and confront him, right? So that is the journey that the player goes on.
It's amazing. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'll leave there. How do you feel? What's going to be the thought in your mind as you're going to bed tonight? This is obviously years of work, years of practice, and then you've opened it up to the people. And the reaction in the room, at least, seems absolutely astounding.
Yeah, the energy's great. You never know what to see, but man, it's humbling. It really is humbling. Like, and we're gonna get back to work, man. Tomorrow's a new day, and we got work to do. We're shipping in September. We got 4 months to go, and we're gonna pour ourselves into it. This is a shot in the arm. It's invigorating to see everybody celebrate it, but you know, we're all cognizant that all these people that love this thing want the best game possible, and they wanna experience Destiny 2 and the best version of Destiny 2 that they can possibly get their hands on. So it's exhilarating, it's humbling, it's a bit daunting, but we're gonna get back to it.
Oh well, thank you very much, and congratulations, sir.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, man.
For the time, man. That was
Cheers.
Fun.
So that was, it was amazing to talk to Eric. He was someone. It was good because he was someone in the keynote that had blown me away. And then when they were saying who I'm going to get to speak to, that he was one of the ones on there. So it was great to get to chat to him. But I wasn't just there to talk to people who've made it. I made it clear to Activision that I don't do podcasts that are just an advert. And if you're feeling that this is an advert, then I apologise. You can turn it off. You've not paid for it. It's cool. I'm not going to be offended. But I wanted to talk to some journalists and some gamers who are experiencing it all for the first time and see that excitement. So the next person I got to talk to, who I'd met the night before at the bowling, and I was pleased that he was he had a big beard, so we had that connection. A guy called Arex, which is Arekkz, and he's a YouTuber, and I mean, we talk about it here, but he's someone I did a strike with, because I got to play all these games as well. My favourite bit was doing the PvP, which are teams of four players versus another team of four players. And I've never done that before, and I loved it. It was great. I've always been scared of that and strikes, because all the team-up stuff, all I'd played at home was just on my own. I didn't want to team up with anyone. It's scary. But, I mean, as you will have heard from Irk just now, kind of the point of these new ones is to embrace that more. So let's jump into my chat with Arex.
And we're rolling. I'm joined by Arex. Explain kind of who you are and what your relationship is with Destiny.
Sure. So I am I'm Arex from the Arex Gaming YouTube channel. I actually cover a wide variety of games, but Destiny is like one of my staple games. So I've been covering it since just before the alpha, so basically been there since the start.
Yeah.
I'm following, through its highs, through its lows and whatnot, and now we find ourselves here today at the reveal or the announce of Destiny 2.
Yeah, and that's kind of a hell of a journey for someone like you to go, because today, and we'll get on to today, because all I've heard is positive reaction and everyone excited, but when I've been talking to people about coming here and doing this, the negative I've heard has been that there was a feeling that it was potentially Destiny initially was launched incomplete almost or something, but from what you and I were discussing last night, I think it's kind of amazing how they kind of released it and then improved it in reaction to all the problems that came up, rather than, oh, it'll be fixed in the next game in 3 years. It was like, no, we're going to fix it as we go along and improve and make it all better.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely in this kind of like age now of like games as a service to a certain extent. You know, a game comes out and like, I mean, back in the day, you know, you buy your N64 game and then that is the only thing you will ever get, right?
100%. You're waiting for Mario 3.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas now, you know, you buy a game, right? Yeah, it takes a while to get adjusted to, but I think, you know, we're now very much in this kind of like industry, this time where, you know, a game comes out and you know that that's not the final game, you know, that you're going to get a lot more. I can appreciate, you know, the initial comments of Destiny was like, because there was a lot of, you know, like some of the reports back when Destiny 1 came out, there was like a big restructure almost like a year before, so they kind of had to redo a lot of stuff. So there was an element of kind of incompletion about it, but they've done so much. You know, they listened to the community, like, you know, as you said, they've expanded a lot. And I mean, one of the biggest points in Destiny's history is the Taken King, because that was a fundamental reworking of the way you play the game. Right. A lot of systems changed. A lot of like what the game that people knew back in the day, like the game that came out, you know, 3 years ago, was not the same game post Taken King. So yeah, I mean, they've done an incredible job, and every single thing is a learning step. And like now, Destiny 2 is like their chance to, because when it first came out, Destiny 1 was like, it was an idea, and it was like, you know, are they going to like it? It was a gamble, right? But now it's got such a strong audience. They're just like, right, you know, do it, Destiny 2. We know it succeeds. Just like run with it, and they've truly, like, you know, from what we've seen today, they've been able to realise that. It's just like they've just been let loose. It's like, yeah, you know, make the game you want
to
make.
Completely. And that's what's been kind of cool, is it's been quite clear to me that everyone giving the keynote speech, and I was speaking to Irk, and everyone involved in the game is a massive player of the game.
They're so passionate about it.
I mean, you could turn around and say they're improving it out of selfishness. They're improving it for the bits that annoyed them. So it's, I think that's a beautiful situation for it to be in, though, that the improvements are coming out of genuine, here's what we need to improve and we want to improve, rather than kind of your almost your iPhone Apple type thing of, oh, we'll make these small improvements and then we'll save this. It seems that they're like, no, we want it to be good now. We want to play more.
I mean, it's definitely true. I mean, like, they are just as much community as they are developers, right? And they are, you know, I mean, they live and breathe the game. I mean, I appreciate, you know, they might not necessarily have the same time that we do, but at the same time, they, you know, they love that game. And it's just like, I mean, there's just so many different, I think also the thing is there's so many different, like, ways to play Destiny, you know, whether you're a competitive PvP player, whether you're like a, you know, a PvE guy that likes to kind of, you know, raid and things like that, or whether you just like, you know, you like to just drop in and out and mess around different activities. There's so many ways to enjoy it, and there's so many different people at the studio. I mean, I know, for example, Luke Smith, who, you know, one of the guys that chats on stage today, he is a huge World of Warcraft player. So, like, you know, like, he's very instrumental behind, like, the raids and, you know, like, some of the kind of big MMO fields kind of things. But there's, like, they've got so much talent there. And for them to be able to, like, truly welcome something that they're passionate about, you can see it come through.
And that seems to have been a big influence on the updated PvP, on the 4-on-4. And that, from what I'm hearing, that seems to be coming from your Warcraft and your EA movement of all that system of it being teams of four.
Well, I mean, in fact, like, PvP is such an exciting thing. It's actually almost, for, like, Bungie fans, it's almost like kind of harking back to the Halo days. Because, you know, if you look at Destiny 1 as it exists right now, you have primary, special and heavy, and like the Crucible is dominated by, like, you know, shotguns and fusion rifles, and they've balanced it out a little bit with some of the recent changes, but fundamentally they've made a change, like they've stripped it down, because one of the problems you have with Destiny right now is that if ever they wanted to kind of go to like a more competitive audience, there's so much stuff in the game that it's hard to balance it. So to kind of go,
it's
back,
hard to just step in and have that.
Because in like a competitive environment, you need to have like an even playing field. Whereas you look to something like the new 4v4 mode, it's much more bare bones. Like, you know, it's a lot more simple. It's a lot easier to kind of balance. But it also then brings back in the true skills. Like, you know, if you're a skilled player, and I mean, heavy ammo is like an amazing example. They've now, you know, made it so that you have to be the one to collect it. So it suddenly turns it into like Halo power weapon days, where you would rush for the rocket launcher or rush for the hammer.
And then suddenly, if you're
the one guy in the match that's got a rocket launcher, you're a threat.
So it's
amazing.
Well, that was it. I mean, I've just played a PvP for the first time. Okay. And again, it was exactly as you said. I've avoided that kind of thing in the past because of feeling I've not played enough hours, I've not done enough. But it was a great thing because there was, you've got your teams, you've got your, you know, in some of the matches I did terrible, but in some I'm getting kills, I'm getting in here and getting that. it didn't feel intimidating as it has previously.
I think that's one of the things. Like, Destiny's always had a it's like Destiny is a really good feel good game.
Yeah.
Like, just like you can jump in, like when you pop your super and you fire that, or when you fire that weapon, like it just feels good, right? So even if you're not necessarily, you know, like the best PvP player in the world, when you jump in and you get your kill, or you kind of, you know, you fire off your weapons and that, you just feel good, right?
Yeah.
And that's a great feeling to have.
And let's talk about the new supers a bit, because watching them on the big screen at the start,
yes,
people were cheering and whooping and gasping, like not trying to be over the top, but genuine reactions. And then playing them, they're beautiful, right?
They're incredible. I mean, there were more shown in the trailer than what we got to try. So we focused on the Hunter had like the golden gun, which we've seen before, but it has had some changes.
Yeah.
There was also the Warlock is probably the newest one. So of course you've got the sword and the wings, and you can fly in the sky and basically rain fiery hell down there.
Yeah, it was amazing. Just, like, I was doing that earlier in one of them.
Yeah.
I was getting to jump up and just raining fire down.
It feels
so
good, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, but some of the other ones were like the ones we saw on the trailer. Like,
yeah, there was the shields.
Yeah, like basically shield. Captain America. You know,
Captain America, and the staff was Gambit.
Yes.
So I was literally, so we've got Phoenix, like rising up and raining down fire.
Yes.
We've got Captain America and we've got Gambit. It's like, they're good places to draw influence from. I'm up for this. This
Love
works
it.
For me.
Yeah.
So, that's really exciting. What have been the bits today that have excited you and intrigued you the most?
So for me, it's definitely because I used to be a big World of Warcraft player.
Yeah.
So I love like open worlds, I love exploring.
Yeah.
And one of the things I felt like Destiny 1 was lacking before, like, it's got a great world, it's got a great like environment, but you never really had the desire to kind of go and sit in the world and just explore for the sake of it. You'd always be there for a purpose, like I've got a mission, or I've got a bounty, or I'm going there for this specific
completely.
Thing. Whereas now, you know, they put a load of things in the map where it's like, you know, you can go here and explore for treasure, you can explore for these lost sectors, you can go and explore for like these hidden things around the map.
Yeah.
And, like, it's laid out there, so if you want to play the game like that, you know, the worlds are bigger.
Yeah.
And it's literally going to, like, I mean, obviously I haven't had a chance to do the open world stuff yet, but from what they've shown, it seems like it's going to feel like that sort of open world MMO feel. I'm going to drop into a planet and I'm just going to wander for hours.
Spend a day on that planet. And that's what seems fascinating again, because, again, it feels like that user feedback, that community feedback. Because one of the things I posted about this earlier, and who commented on my page? Andrew Poultris was saying that he felt they've got a lot to prove in Destiny 2, because on Destiny 1 he felt he spent a lot on the game, on upgrades and all this, and didn't feel he got as bigger a game as he'd wanted,
right,
and that's
enough,
what it felt to me that they've corrected there, in that you can go back, because again, in the small amount of playing I've done, the 15 to 20 hours, I've gone back and done some patrols, and it's not that much of an excitement explore, whereas this seems to be, from what we saw this morning, you can go back and there's treasure maps, you can go and find hidden stuff, you can go on extra bits, and you can go all around rather than I'm here for this mission and then I'm gone until there's another mission.
I mean that's what's going to give people, you know, that kind of desire to come back. I mean, because Destiny's always been a game where, you know, you come back, because it revolves around a weekly cycle, it revolves around, you know, loot grinding and stuff, but it's now, there's going to be more than just like, I'm here for the grind, I'm here for that. It's going to be like, I'm here for that sense of exploration, which is great. I mean, in a game where you're exploring the galaxies, you want to explore, right?
Yeah, completely.
So,
So how many hours have you put in Destiny? What's your kind of level on this?
I think I'm approaching like 2,000 hours, something like that. I hate counting it because it's such a crazy number. But I've definitely got my time in Destiny. I mean, like, that's across three characters, across different platforms as well.
Amazing. It's beautiful though, because again, as someone who this is your, it's work. That's kind of the beauty of making gaming work, is these larger games that have got such depth. You can put in them hours and not feel like you're wasted. Do you know what I mean? You're doing it because you've got to put it on your YouTube channel. Are you a live stream at all, or are you?
I do sometimes. I do some stuff on Twitch. I tend to be more video focused because it's kind of easier for me to sort of, you know, condense the information I want into that. But I mean, like, this is definitely a game I would live stream like as much as well, because it's one of those things where, you know, you'll go in with a certain like kind of a thing in mind, thinking, I want to go and make a video on, I don't know, where to find this treasure, and you'll do it. But then live streaming, I can just be like, guys, today we're going to explore this world. Like, I'm just going to sit here and we're going to, for like 3 or 4 hours, just wander around this world.
Yeah.
Every corner, we're going to, like, you know, turn up all the stones and just find everything. It's going to be amazing.
Amazing. So to tell people what to expect and where to find your YouTube stuff, what today you've got a certain amount of hours to take in as much as you can.
Yeah.
What are you currently excited to get back and make for your channel to cover and discuss? And
I think it definitely kind of goes back to when we spoke about supers, because I think that's like, it's because classes are, you know, it's the huge kind of the pillars of Destiny, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have your Warlock, your Titan, and your hunter, right? And like they've changed in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing I'm going to focus on is how they've changed their abilities. Showing people what's new and what they kind of need to know, because some of the stuff is sort of not necessarily explained in the trailers and stuff. So it's really kind of good to sort of show that. And then I'm going to start digging into everything. I mean, there's new weapons and new weapon types. There's obviously new activities. Like there's just a ton of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And I mean that's just from the stuff I've gone hands on with. I mean, there's so much more from the live stream, the keynote and stuff that I just need to. I'm gonna be good for it's almost like I've just come back from my summer holiday and I'm now back to work. It's like I'm fully
there's so much to do. So you just filmed a strike that we did.
Did
you catch me on screen falling off of platforms and dying a lot? Because hopefully that was off camera too, off of your screen as much. I just kept falling off and dying.
I did it myself as well. So you know what? Like anytime you go to a Vex area, because they've got these floating platforms and stuff, it's so easy. Like you'll be immersed in the action. You'll be walking back, be like, let me get behind cover, and you're like, oh, I've fallen off something. So.
It's the beauty of that game is it's easy to get straight in and feel pretty slick because you're jumping about and you're flying about. But equally, there's a lot to master. Because most times I fell off, it was when I was like, I'm smashing this. I'm in complete control, and then suddenly like. Oh, I've just jumped down a hole and I'm dead. But.
No. I mean it's definitely one of those things where you can pick it up. Like if you kind of not necessarily into the, but you haven't played the games before, it's so easy to pick up. But there is definitely that. There is the scope too. Like if you want to master the game, if you really want to get that good, there's definitely the scope for that.
Well, perfect. I'll leave it at that. Where can everyone find it? It's spelled ARECKS, right?
Zed.
KKZ. There we go.
Yeah, so primarily on YouTube. So Arex Gaming. So ARECKZ and then gaming. I'm also on Twitter all the time and just pretty much everywhere else on the.
Perfect. And again, it feels like people like yourself who are doing these videos and breakdowns, it's a good place to go and look, even if you're just curious about. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If you've never played Destiny or don't want to commit to it. I find things like that are great to just go and have a look and go, all right, so what is this? Rather than, in many ways, a better starting point than just picking it up.
Yeah, I mean...
To get an idea and go, oh, right, I can see where this can go.
I mean, no, you're definitely right, because that links back to when you were sort of saying it's easy to pick up and hard to master, because one of those things, and it's something I try and do in videos, is that, there'll be... Unless you want to go and dig through all the menus and read everything and kind of, test out all the things, you might not necessarily get the chance to do that.
Yeah.
But for someone to then sit down and be like, right, this is how the different things impact you, and you can be like, oh, okay, now I know this, I'll just jump into it. So, it's a great way to kind of share that knowledge and...
I literally on my first thing here, I had to go on the solo quest things, and I was so pleased that the solo one was the first one I played, because I literally took only 30-40 seconds, but it was 30 seconds or so of walking into a door trying to figure out what I'm doing, because it was PlayStation and I've played Xbox. It was that instant kind of, I don't know what's happening. So by the time I was playing with other people, I was a little bit more confident. Well, thank you very much, man. I look forward to playing some more today. Yeah. It's a hell of an event.
It is. It's an incredible place.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
So, as well as talking to Arex and to Irk, I wanted to talk to someone who's got a normal name. I spoke to my guys at Activision. I said, look, it'd be cool to talk to someone who's not a creator or a massive game already. Do you know what I mean? It felt like if I'm only like, and Dan Lasak as well, if I'm only talking to people who are already massive fans of this game and already massively sold on it, in many ways are relying on it being good. It has to be good, obviously, for Irk, but in general, if it's a game you like a lot and you are looking forward to the new one, you're relying on it being good because you want to play a lot of it, and particularly if you're a streamer and stuff like that. So I wanted to talk to someone who's more kind of at my level, if a little bit deeper. So are they teaming up with Sam White, who writes for The Telegraph and Vice and loads of other people. And we had a chat. It was my last chat of the day. And we had a chat about it all then. So here we go. Have a listen to that.
Right, I'm joined by Sam White. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
I'm good. How have you found this experience today? Have you done a lot of these events?
Several.
Yeah.
They kind of come up every now and then. Not like, it's not one a week.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of glad that it's not one of you, to be honest.
It's an intense experience, isn't it?
It is. It's just a lot of people. Like, you don't, you never know how many people are going to be at the thing when you turn up. Sometimes it's 10 people, 10 press guys. With this, it's like, God knows how many, 300 people.
Yeah,
all crammed in, all hyped.
All excited. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it. We were discussing just now, we've kind of lucked out a little bit because our role here is, as much as anything, to experience it.
To witness.
Whereas there's people who have to be capturing themselves playing games. Yeah. They've got all sorts of shit to plug in. They've got, and
there's a guy in there with like six bags of camera shit.
Yeah,
it's, like,
it's intense. I've got a Zoom that fits in my pocket, and that's literally. I felt bad like just after as I played with Arix on a strike, and I sat down, and he was like, I just got to set up, and then he sets up, and he's like, I just got to do a 5 minutes of going through the menu, and I'm like, dude, I feel bad. I was just like, cool, we're going to play some games.
No, they want to see the menus, to work. The settings, all the stuff that they're going to be fucking around with for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. So what's been your experiences of Destiny before this? Are you a big player, or are you kind of...
I think I sit in the middle.
Yeah.
I play... My friends are pretty into it, and I kind of just follow along.
Like, yeah.
It's a good game to play with people.
See, I've not done any of that yet. I've been enjoying it as just a solo player, but...
That's usually where I sit in terms of the games I enjoy is playing games on my own, because I don't have to arrange other people to sit and play with, and that's just in terms of work and stuff, it's easiest to do that. With this, that is like a massive commitment in terms of getting people together, like when they can play, how long they can play for.
It's something that, and I've mentioned it in a few interviews, I can't remember if I mentioned it in interviews or just conversation, but one of the things that, so apologies in the podcast if I've said this for the eighth time now, but one of the things that's blew me away initially about it is that we met last night, and we could say, I'm back in England next week, do you want to meet on 8 o'clock on Monday on Mars, and we'll go and we'll do a raid or so. It's just like, we'll do that. It's like, that blows my fucking mind that it's got that real world element as well.
Every night as well. Like, there's some of them, there's not even an arrangement. They just kind of are always going to be playing it. So they don't even need to have that communication of like, when are we going to play?
They know that they're going to be
playing every night for every weeknight.
How do you kind of feel a witness in all of that as a journalist and as somewhat of an outsider, kind of seeing the, because it's weird, I should be looking at that and thinking, you crazy nerds.
Totally.
But I'm not. I'm looking at it and going, this seems so cool. It's been weird that there's been a lot of this where I was like, I don't know how it'll be because it's some high level stuff. And I was ready to feel more of an outsider than I have. I felt like an outsider, but I wanted to be an rather than an outsider. I'm like, I'm don't know what these guys are about. It's like, I want to do this kind of mission. I want
to
do that.
Yeah, I think with Destiny in particular, I think if you speak to any of the players, one thing you kind of pick up is that it is quite inclusive. Like, people are, it's not like some other communities, I shan't name, that are
Call of Duty, man. That scares the shit out of me. The one time I went online with that, I was, I had no idea my mum had ever met this 12-year-old kid, but he had a lot of stories about her, and it was all based around my poor aiming ability, so it was like, it was very offensive. But that's not the vibe with this.
No, it's a lot more friendly, and I think that helps in terms of getting involved. I think it is easy to be cynical and sit there and kind of laugh. But that's the same with most things. Like anything, I think it's easy to laugh at anyone that's into something really passionately.
Yeah.
Just because you don't share their interest. It's cool to watch. Like, when they're cheering and whooping.
Exactly, like that. I mean, that's what I was going to say. That's what really struck me a lot today, was it didn't feel like a divide between the customer and the people presenting their product. It felt like everyone was waiting to see their product.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It felt like such a collaborative effort and such an investment from the people who were here just to see it for the first time. It felt like they'd invested so much into it that they were as excited as the people presenting their hard work.
I think as well with Bungie, because of the way Destiny is and the way they've run it since it came out, there is that connect between the players feel that kind of, not bond per se, but that relationship with the game directors,
and
the social people, and even like the designers. There is that, they know who they are, they know their faces because they are so kind of communicative. So it is nice to see. They just walk out and it's like, it is like, trying to think of like a comparison, but there isn't really anything else in terms of like, it's kind of like when your favorite band,
yeah,
like you don't know them, feel like you have that connection with them.
Because it's, I mean, they did it a lot today, and it felt genuine. And it's a classic stage trick, and I've done it on stage before when I've got fans who come to a lot of gigs and they're like, "All right, there's Keith. It's good to see you."
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I'm genuinely excited because this dude's come to a lot of shows, but it is also a really good way to make everyone feel on the same level, that you're not, although you are on a stage, you're not on a stage.
You're in there
with everyone. And that's what it felt like today. As even before they'd started, they were like, "We're going to be starting in 5 minutes. Oh, there's a sit down, Mark." And there's that guy. It's like, mate, there's hundreds of people here. How is this? And it's a massive deal. How does this feel like? Some mates are meeting up to talk about a thing they've done.
Well, I think that's one thing as well. If there wasn't that thing where they have to announce to the world, they would definitely probably not have a stage. They would remove all that kind of non-pressy nonsense.
Yeah, and completely.
Just sit with the fans that love it so much.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yes. So what has struck you today that's been the kind of standout points and standout moments, either of the new content or the announcements or the reactions?
I think the biggest thing in terms of the game itself seems to be like the way Bungie are reworking and refining all of the community and clan stuff.
Completely. All that clan stuff, it seemed amazing because, again, I was saying this to Irk just now, it's something that I'm not on Reddit, I'm not on... Do you know what I mean? It's not... I wouldn't have gone to the trouble to arrange clans outside of the game and this kind of thing, and they've just gone... and. It hasn't felt it's in a kind of a Facebook way of they try and take everything in so that we've got control of it. It feels in a kind of, well, that's kind of awkward, isn't it? Let's just make you be able to do that in the game.
I think it's good as well because players like me and probably you, as we were saying, that don't have that ability to, say, get six friends together who wanted to play Destiny and there was always that kind of barrier to entry in terms of, oh, I want to do this cool stuff but I don't have the friends to do it with.
Or
I do have the friends but they're not,
but they're not into Destiny.
I don't have the friends.
But
now there is that, they're allowing that jump between people that don't have a friends list full of people to just be able to play with randoms in the same way they would with any other game where they just want to play on their own but with others. So I think that's probably the coolest thing.
I love that.
The reaction to that was massive. It's clearly been wanted.
That are the reaction to that got cheers, and the reaction to the new super weapons and stuff, which they look beautiful. The visuals were amazing and the movement and everything, but the excitement of people as they started happening, I was like I want to be able to do that.
Even with the new guns and stuff, there's always that whoop and that cheer. There was also, I was sat behind three or four people who were clearly well into it, and they were clearly in jokes and stuff like that, which I just went completely over my head.
They were completely
laughing along with which is just quite nice.
I love all that.
It's just nice to hear.
How do you feel or do you feel a level of responsibility, or not responsibility as such, that sounds too heavy, but as a journalist who isn't purely like a games magazine journalist or whatever, a responsibility to, because it's one of the things that's excited me about this podcast is exactly that, and I don't want it to feel like it's a big hour-long advert for a game, because it's not, but the thing that I have felt a responsibility to get out of is that it's not this secret little club, and it's not this nerdy little thing either. It's like, it's just really good fun. And do you feel, because again, we're two people here, there's hundreds of people here specifically from the game community that have
fans.
To, as we were saying, have to be plugging stuff in and capturing them, playing everything that are really going to break down every new gun, every new weapon. That's not kind of our shtick or our role here. It's kind of the opposite. It's to go, oh wow, I was really nervous about playing a PvP, for those who I didn't know what that was this morning either, but it's player v player, so it's you're against each other, and I loved it. I got slaughtered, but I loved it. I felt stupid afterwards for holding off on that kind of thing, because it felt, that's a lot of fun. And if I was doing it for a few weeks of doing it once or twice, I'd stop getting slaughtered. But it's like, it didn't have that. I got slaughtered, I never want to play it again. I was like, that's the most fun I've had being shit at something in a long time.
I think
kind of
games
thing.
Are quite good at that. Like,
yeah,
you say that as well. I've been playing games for years, and I got pummeled even today. I think there's, but then I think you say about that responsibility. I think it's a case of looking in two different levels.
Yeah.
So on GQ, obviously, the people that read the mag aren't going to be super, well, the majority of them aren't going to be super into Destiny.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a dual layer of enjoyment. Like, you can play Destiny and not have to, you know, pay out to come to LA to see the game announced.
Yeah.
You can just sit at home and play it for, like, surface entertainment.
Yeah,
it can
completely.
Just be shooting aliens, getting some fucking headshots.
It's good fun, right?
Yeah, and not have to worry about all of the lore and the stories and the plans and everything else that goes along with it. And that's kind of
There's so much of that I haven't even got a clue what it is. The young lady behind us now, I got an Uber back with last night, and she was saying, I've been asked to do something on a panel about the lore of Destiny, and she was like, I'm not sure I know enough about it. And I was like, I was sitting there thinking, what's the lore of I didn't know that existed, so
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just forums, like, reams and reams of forum stuff of just... Even, like, fan-written stories about the game and, like, books.
But it's fucking... It's clever to be able to write a game that can have that much depth, but you don't miss out if you're not willing to give that time.
Yeah.
It's still got that enjoyment that... And that's what's exciting. Again, it sounds like an advert, but that's what excited me about the multiplayer stuff on the new one, was it felt that bit more welcoming to someone who is just going to pick up and play a couple of evenings a week.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? I've previously, as we discussed, I've only done solo stuff on it because I'm picking up and playing. I don't want that drama of, as you said, scheduling a time when we're going to do this. That's what this kind of brings in. It opens up the game a lot more. Yeah, completely. It's not realistic.
They can't dedicate that time to it. I think it's well interesting that this new story has all these characters were in the first game, so all the players that love that are well into it.
Yeah.
But it's being written in a way that seems to at least allow people to jump on board having... You know, I don't really know who the characters are in Destiny.
Yeah.
Being able to jump on board and be like, okay, I'm going to learn about these people as I go, but the people who already know who it is can be like, okay, this is cool.
I was getting excited about characters I don't know that well just because of the buzz in the room. People were going so nuts at it. I was like, I was like, who's that guy again?
Just a robot. He's a robot, dude. And a blue guy. I definitely think that it works on multiple levels across the board, either like story or just the way you play or who you play with. So it's pretty cool.
Completely. Well, thank you very much for your time, man. I'll let you get back to wandering around and experiencing
it. Great to chat to you, mate.
And you, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Scroobish Pip's Discretion Pieces.
Right, there you go. And that's kind of all the people I spoke to. I should give you some information because there's a lot for you to know as well. If you've listened to this and are even mildly intrigued, they're doing, and this is a thing that I might be involved with. So Destiny 2 actually comes out on PlayStation and Xbox on September 6th, and the PC version is scheduled for October 24th. But what they do, as you've heard how the first one kind of developed as they went along, what they do is there's a beta version that they release and you can play from July 21st to July 23rd. So it's available, I think it's when you pre-order it and stuff like that, and you can play it and try it out. And it allows them to get any kinks out and stuff like that. So that's 21st to 23rd of July. If I'm about, it's up in the air at the moment because... If I'm filming or away, I can't do it. But if I'm about, we're going to sort it out so that people can play with me if they want. So I'll talk to Activision and Bungie and all that crowd, and we'll sort it out so that people can play, team up with me to do strikes or to do PvP or whatever else. In fact, I'll try and get Dan Lasak in on it as well, because that would be cool. So for example, if it's a three-man strike, it'll be me, Dan, and one other each time. Or if it's a four-on-four PvP, two of you can team up with me and Dan, and four of you can be against. Or that'll be better, actually. I can have a team of three and Dan can have a team of three. So, yeah, we'll look into all that kind of thing. It's all good fun. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and found it interesting. I know it's a change from the norm, but, you know, we'll be if you've not enjoyed it, then we'll be back to normal next week. In fact, it's a drunk cast next week, so it'll be an absolute shambles. But I like the opportunity to do things like this. I should also make it clear that this isn't a paid-for or sponsored episode. Activision asked me if I'd be interested in it. I found it interesting. They did pay for my flights and for my hotel, which is dope and awesome of them. But that was kind of after I'd agreed to do this anyway, after I'd already decided it was an interesting topic. So, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it and found it interesting. And it's not just been incredibly boring to you. I hope if you're a non-gamer, you've enjoyed it. And I hope if you're a gamer, it's not been too dumbed down and I've not been too much of a cringe-worthy idiot for you. But again, the point of this isn't for me to pretend to be an expert on the subject. It's something I found fascinating and we thought we'd make a little episode. So this has been fun. Thank you all for tuning in. If you want to, in fact, if you enjoyed this episode on part one or part two of the one I did with Dan Lesac, which I think was episode 100, a big chunk of that we talk about his gaming and Twitch and the work he does on there. So check them out. Is there anything else I'm going to mention? I don't think so. Thank you all for tuning in and see you next week. Ta-ta.